Welcome to today's episode of Love Your Life Now, where we discuss different topics that impact our health, our wellness, and our feeling of abundance in life. And if you are ready to love your life now, then stay tuned and listen in as we discuss today general topic on health, how to get yourself back on track when you've been out of touch with your food and anything that kind of goes with that. And today I am here with
Tina Thornton,
Christina Sergun Powers,
Sabine Isayan,
and myself, Sonia Sophie. And we have a guest in studio and she'll just be listening. And if she has a question, just throw that question in there and we'll see if we can answer. Okay, so anyone want to get us started with the topic today of how to get yourself on track with eating right, or maybe a story about what happened when you didn't eat right, when you fell off track, so to speak?
Yeah, I can start because I fell off track, as you say, very recently, and I wasn't practicing any of the stuff I knew. You know, and I realized knowing makes no difference. Sometimes we just like fall off the wagon. And so how to get back up? The cool thing is that we now have the tools to get back up. So the first thing I do is I start drinking water, like a lot of water, because I think that's not a great way of bringing flow back into my life. So I also visualize that water is coming in and nurturing me and pulling all the stuff that I don't need out. So water is number one, and that's what I always put my clients on. That's the first thing we do.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because it's easy.
It's fairly easy, and it's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just came off a 7-day detox, and all it was just raw food. And it could be juices, it could be smoothies, all of that. But all it was just living food for 7 days. The first day we did do the water. It was just because that just sort of changes our whole connection, our whole brain chemistry to the food that we're eating. It kind of creates a clear palate for us to go into the detox. And I had clients with me that were doing it too. One client said she lost 8 pounds that week just eating raw food and being satisfied. And she said her husband joined her in it and he lost 11 pounds. And I had enormous energy. I saw that I had more hours at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. My daughter, at one point, she said, "Mom, you seem different to relate to. You know, you seem, it's just, I like what you're doing because you're fun to relate to."
Mm-hmm.
Just saw a lot happen in my body. And all it is just just raw foods. I do have recipes. If you guys would like some recipes or some ideas in terms of, if you just want to do a detox, if we can, if we would only just do them maybe when the seasons change. We did 1 week. There's a whole idea behind this that if we just reset at that point, disease can't find a home. If we just did that during the season change, and this one, the big one, the spring detox, it's a great time to do it. But if you want recipes, just drop me an email. itsthefood@gmail.com, itsthefood. Some fantastic raw foods if you'd like to mess around with a 7-day detox. And I could just also send you information about the one I did. There's a gal named Tara Warner, and I really enjoy how she does it with so much fun. And she had an interactive community there too, so it was really neat.
And I can also attest to that. I did the detox starting 3 years ago when I was, maybe not that particular one, but very similar, the juicing detox. When I started being diagnosed with thyroid disease, beginning stages, and each time I did with the spring and the fall, and it was a 15-day at the time, it reset everything. So before, no matter what I ate, I didn't have any energy. No matter what I didn't eat, I didn't lose weight. I only gained weight. And, you know, whatever, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the thyroid functions, is it works and pulls. You know, if you need to keep weight on for some reason, it says that's what you're doing, and then to reset it. And then the losing weight, what I learned, it wasn't that what you weren't eating, because you're getting enough of the calories in some form of juicing. It's what comes out of your colon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you're holding it in your colon. Yeah. And so, you know, people, you know, this all these fad diets people have been on and off for many years, and they say, okay, if I starve myself for 7 days, and that's not really what's happening in the detox, it's cleansing that colon, and it's really, the whole purpose of it is to revitalize your colon. And I'm, you know, you guys are the experts on that. I'm just speaking from the experience that I had. So I'll even say this experience. I'll just say 3 years ago, there wasn't, and I was 25 pounds overweight. There wasn't anything I could do to get rid of that. No exercising. I had a physical fitness trainer every day. We were working hard with the weights. And he's like, you're not losing any weight. What's the problem? You must be overeating. And I said, no, I'm actually undereating. I can tell you that, right? He kept thinking I was overeating and I wasn't, because I was losing nothing. I was 173 pounds. I'm 5'8", so I wasn't, but you know, that's just way too much. And then I did the first detox and it reset my button. I didn't exercise anymore. I didn't eat any less. And suddenly I was now 163 pounds after the detox. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, now right now I'm probably 151, 152. And never eating more, probably exercising more, definitely. Because that suddenly has to kick in. And, you know, my button has been reset over doing those detox and still continuing having a nice, you know, eating all the foods, that the healthy foods I like.
That's wonderful stuff. I forgot to tell you too, day five, I went to cut or do something that I, you know, was just something that I needed, some business cards and things I was cutting, and I could see the lines. I started to notice by day five, my eyesight was improving. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have certain pains in joints because, you know, you're cannibalizing all those proteins that are trapped in your body. In our body's wisdom, it will grab toxic materials and storm away in our elbows, our knees, our joints, to keep those toxic substances from our major organs, our liver, heart, all of that. So when you detox, it's a reset button. It's a reboot for your system. So it's really, really neat to just feel light and free and notice such a difference so quickly.
Yes, it's important to say here that starting to eat good, healthy, raw food sometimes doesn't do justice to the body if it's clogged up. So detoxing is extremely important. So we need to first go in and look at which parts of our bodies are clogged up. We have four different ways of releasing toxins. So it's, you know, pooping and peeing and sweating and breathing, breath. Yeah. So these parts of our bodies are clogged up, it's just gonna, you know, there's no way for it to come out, and you keep eating food and it keeps getting more clogged up. So very important to detox that way. So there's so many different ways. I was just hearing about coffee enemas.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it, but so many healers talk about it, how to really activate the liver to release all the toxins. Because when you actually drink coffee, it goes to all your other organs first, so that's not that great for you. It stimulates all your other organs, but when you're coming from the, you know, below and it goes straight into your liver, it stimulates it to release all toxins. So I'm very interested in that. I don't know if you guys know much about it, but I'm going to do some research. So that's one way of declogging.
I do know just from studying Charlotte Gershon.
Yes.
And the Gershon therapy with cancer, that's one of the huge prescriptions that they do. Yeah. It's not the coffee that you get at Trader Joe's or Pete's. There's a special kind of coffee, and I'm sure Tina knows much, much more about that than I do.
Yeah, well, she was just recommending the organic coffee. I mean, you could even go, I'd like to take it even further if you can get shade grown, because then the coffee is growing in the canopy. It's growing where it was meant to grow before we started to have it grown in artificial means, so that it's, you know, mass produced. But if we've got like a shade grown, then you've got more antioxidants showing up in the coffee. So
where would we find that coffee, and how do we do it ourselves, or do we need to go to an expert who does coffee?
No, you could do it yourself for sure.
It's in a regular.
Yeah.
In a pump?
Yeah, you could do that. Health food stores would probably have it.
Okay.
Grassroots, Whole Foods, you could
that
you could
type do of that. Coffee.
Well, you could do that. You could use papua if you wanted to do that. Then alkalinizing coffee.
So you're just making regular American coffee,
but it's without the pesticides.
Without the pesticides, doing, of course.
Yeah.
No, you're organic, very good quality coffee, but yeah. You know, making it, boiling it, whatever, yeah. You know, however you make coffee.
And what did you say about the alkaline?
Well, I was thinking too, if we wanted to use the papua, here we have access to coffee that creates an alkaline response in the body rather than oxidizing or acid producing. So we could use the papua if you wanted to use that in terms of your coffee enema.
And do you know anything more about what it does? I mean, I know from the Gershwin therapy what it does for curing, reversing cancers. What does it do for us if we were to do?
Well, if you can figure out that anything that needs to, for instance, the plastics that we take in are, if we don't have a mechanism to get rid of the bisphenol A, the thing that comes through, all those drugs and materials that come through when we take a shower, because our skin being the largest eliminative organ, we're absorbing all those things that have been put back into our water system. So all those things, the plastics, all those things stay in the liver. So when we put the enema, we insert the enema up our rectum. If you can imagine that coffee up around the liver, and even if you think about the cells not doing anything, but just by the process of osmosis, just being against that up in the liver can just safely open up and let it pass there, rather than to have a way to figure out that the liver, well, like say you're using something like kombucha, where you've got the glucuronic acid that will go up into the liver and wrap around those plastics so it can safely go up the kidney. We're bypassing that. We're actually going up the rectum and we're parking right near the liver, and we're able to just pull out those toxins right away extremely efficiently. So, and creating less of a burden on the different systems in the body or the different organs of the body. I think that's why Charlotte Gerson and her papa Max like to work with them with cancer, because you didn't have to take a cancer client, a cancer patient, through something that can be, detoxing can be, can be painful. You can have headaches. You can, develop fevers. Although generally with cancer, one cancer expert I was working with said, cancer, people that have cancer generally can't even, their bodies can't build up enough resources to even have a fever. And so maybe many of them have noticed over the years they stop producing fever. We want to have a fever. We don't want to stop a fever. Right. So if we're doing something where we're detoxing or we have the ability to generate a fever, it takes enormous resources in the body to get to a fever. And when we see our children getting them, just to let them have them, one of the most incredible things we can do. And the fever will allow the heavy metals that can only be released from the body unless you're using something like tea, Cali tea, that kind of thing. But the fever will allow those heavy metals to be safely exited from the body.
So that's where a lot of people get confused about detoxing. Is number one, when they're doing a detox, that they are having these symptoms. So now they're feeling, it's day two or three and they're feeling sicker than the week before when they were eating not healthy foods. And now they say, oh, detoxing is not good for me because it's making me feel sick. Yeah. But that is a healing response. So absolutely, we have to remember that. And also, a detox is not necessarily something where you're not eating anything. So nowadays, I think many times people confuse detox with fasting. Mm-hmm. And they automatically assume that if I want to release toxins from my body or something, or if I want to detox, I have to actually fast and not eat anything, or the master cleanse is the only thing that you can do to detox. And for some people, that really is not the best thing to do.
No.
Detoxing means really putting mostly vegetables, maybe a little bit of fruit, but if you can leave that out for a couple of days, that would be even better. So if you can live on vegetables and some nuts for 7 days, then you can eat as many vegetables as you want to eat. So that's the great thing.
And why vegetables? I mean, you know, I was recently listening to something again, vegetables, because they're so filled with fiber. So they attach themselves. Fiber attaches itself to toxins and pulls it out of your body.
And that's really going to, the fiber is also going to really help you release from the colon. Right?
Like a scrub brush.
Like a scrub brush. And also, why vegetables? No sugar. Mm-hmm. So that's a natural way of not eating any sugar. Add some nuts and seeds for the fat, or just have a spoon of coconut oil every day to make sure that you have some fats. And with that, a detox can become much easier than what you might think, because it's not the same as fasting. It doesn't have to be. It's meant to help you release toxins. So you want to add some nuts and seeds. We're going to talk in the next couple of weeks particularly about certain superfoods, what their special properties are, and how you can and want to incorporate them into being healthier. And a detox also is something that you're doing for a short amount of time. So you also want to remember that to start the healing response, which is going to possibly make you feel a little bit sick for a couple of days as your body releases the toxins that have been stored back into your blood stream. And from there, they get processed and get released from your body through the sweat, the pee, or that. We have a question.
Is there a differentiation between the vegetables, for instance, starchy vegetables versus leafy green vegetables?
Great question. Yes, there is. So the greener you can have it, the better it is. You don't want to live on corn or potatoes during that time. Okay, so corn and potatoes, if you can really, when I'm saying vegetables, I'm really talking about all the brassica, all the leafy greens, the chard, the spinach, all of that, the celery.
Cruciferous vegetables.
Yes, like, so.
Cauliflower.
Yeah, and now some of you, when you have dealing with thyroid issues, you want to make sure that you at least steam all the cruciferous vegetables, the kale and the broccoli, because that's not too good for certain thyroid conditions. And it really
just
and it doesn't, you don't have to, this is the other thing, you don't have to go completely raw for 7 days. If you can just go vegetables and nuts for 7 days and make the vegetables, you know, if you want to steam them, if you want to eat them raw, if you want to blend them in a blender, great. Any of those ways, mix them all three together, that's going to give you such a big positive effect. And then you want to add some lemon and maybe some grapefruit juice, fresh pressed, if you have some grapefruits around, a few of those types of things. And I think the best fruit, and so this is my feeling, the best fruits to add, of course, if you're going to have fruits, start with berries.
Yes.
Blueberry.
Strawberry.
Strawberry.
Organic, all of them.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to with strawberries too.
And then the other one fruit that I always like to have are apples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that, because that's the liver, right? It's working with the liver.
And with the, especially eating organic apples with the
seeds
and the seed.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with those, you know, you have enough to choose from, and then I can say, safely, you don't have to count calories, you don't have to just eat as much as you need to eat to feel full, and then watch what happens.
I have a question, thank you. What about, eating things like, you know, if you take an avocado and you mash it up and, you know, it's guacamole.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I did that.
And, mm-hmm. and part of it. And then what about hummus? Would that be included in there as raw?
I would take the hummus out. Mm-hmm. It's...
Yeah, for detoxing, beans are pretty hard to digest, especially if they haven't been cooked properly.
Or sprouted.
Sprouted, yeah. Cooked. So for detoxing, I would avoid those and then bring those in slowly and make sure they're either sprouted or well cooked so that you're not left with the gases.
Maybe write about it too. Maybe while you're in this process, journal. Mm-hmm. Journal about what's going on in your body. Let yourself sleep. Mm-hmm. Don't feel, you know, if you have a couple of days where you feel like you need a little extra sleep, that's going to really benefit you in this process too. And some of the clients are, they're actually talking about staying this way. So you may at the end of 7 days realize, wow, I am, my body's so much more efficient. This is going to be my predominant. This is going to be my foundation.
Yeah. With adding, you know, you might add back in a few potatoes here and there. Yeah. You might add a little bit more fruit here and there. But you're generally sticking with the real food, which is what we evolved on, which is what we are supposed to eat, which is what we are going to thrive on. Mm-hmm. And we're out of time. And so there is a lot to say in this arena. So what we're going to do is for the next couple of weeks, we're going to specify a little bit more about certain topics within this arena. So next week, we're going to talk about specifically nuts and seeds. So there are a lot of things to talk about. How to make them, when to eat what, if there are any nuts and seeds you want to avoid, what they're particularly doing in your body, those types of things. So we look forward to discussing that here, and we look forward to having you back listening. And if you have questions, again, you can contact us through different venues. You can send an email to tina@itsthefood@gmail.com. You can go to www.yogaforbalance.org and click on the contact tab. You can go to www.sanyasophie.com and click the contact tab. And you can go to
healthcoachsabine.com.
Oh, easy.
And click the contact tab. Any of those, if you have particular questions that you want us to address, and next week will be nuts and seeds. So if you have questions about nuts and seeds, shoot them over and we will see you back.
Can I mention a new class we have starting here for moms, all the pregnant moms? We have pregnant Kundalini yoga every Wednesday at 6 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. We have a fabulous certified Kundalini pregnancy yoga teacher. That schedule is at yogaforbalance.org.
Perfect. And with that, we'll see you back next week. Thanks so much for listening. And make sure to love your life now.